Okay. Boy, thank you. So, welcome everybody. I appreciate you being here. It's our call number two for RS-102. Again, I appreciate your patience. We got that sorted out. Just to start off with, I'd like to acknowledge that I'm calling from Chief Dry Gates territory in Treaty Six. We are in the place also called Sambaque or Yellowneck. If you haven't already had a chance to open the slideshow for the course, then I'd ask you to do so, please. We're gonna pick up today at slide number 16. Thank you all. We're gonna try and do a brief overview of this last week's content, but before we do, I'd just like you to go around and just quickly introduce yourself if you haven't met everybody who's on the call yet, and just indicate which community you're from, please. And so I've posted names in the chat, and they are kind of in a randomized order based on how I made up a list this morning. So we'll start with Igor and then go to Robin and Jaslyn. So if you could just quickly say your name and what your home community is, please. Yeah, absolutely. Mel, is that Misha? You can go last for sure. Sorry, I think you're on mute, sir. For the folks who are trying to open the slide based on the links that I posted on earlier, for some reason, it would not let me paste the link in correctly. So if you can go to the course website and you can type in the or can click on the link from at the very, very top of the course site. Igor, if you can hear me, you can be the first person to introduce yourself and say your community. If you can't, I see that you're on mute still. Maybe we'll jump to Robin if I don't see your microphone come off, and then we'll move to the next person. Will be after Robin will be Jaslyn. That seems to be my audio that's not working. Okay. Oh man.
I'm Robin. I'm from Martin Lake.
All right. There we go. Thanks, Robin.
Hi everyone. It's Jaslyn from Cambridge Bay.
Thanks, Jaslyn. And then we've got Myla, Breton, and April. Well, I could see you talking, but I couldn't hear you for some reason. Do you want to type it into chat?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Now I can hear you too.
I'm Myla from Garnix.
Right on, Myla. Thanks. Breton, are you on the call?
Hello. Yes. My name is Breton, and I am in the Cowlitz.
Thanks, Breton. April, you're here, I think.
Hi everyone. I'm April Olusi from Olufato.
Thanks, April. Nice to see you. Deanne and Mel.
Hi everyone. This is Deanne from Whitehorse. Thank you.
Nice to hear your voice, Deanne. Melanie, how are you?
I'm Melanie and I'm from Robson Lake.
Thanks, Melanie. Misha?
Hi, I'm Misha. I'm also from Marsh Lake.
Right on. And last would be Martha.
Did you just say Marla again?
Did I say it twice, Marla? I did too, I'm sorry. Okay. Right. It was Misha who wanted to go last. Okay. All right. We'll get rolling here. Thanks very much. So last week we talked about some of the facts and stats of our community, and we learned a little bit about each other's community, especially if you took the chance to took the time to read in the forum and look at some of the posts. The factual information that we got tells us something about our communities, and it can be really helpful for things like applying for grants or for other kinds of support. But this week we're going to look at some of the harder to measure things. Sometimes we call them the intangibles. And some of these things are what we might call underlying characteristics, things like values or traditions or customs or the local culture, the relationships and the influence, the interests. All these things influence how our communities engage in recreation and what kinds and what types of recreation our communities enjoy. Now, getting to know a community's personality by connecting with the people who live there, its citizens, really helps to engage people as participants, but also as volunteers. Getting to know communities requires time, requires patience, and it can require an open mind. If not your microphone open, folks, if you're on a call or otherwise, could you just mute your microphone, please? For a lot of us, we live in smaller communities, and often we have to take a bit of an informal approach to gathering information. And that could really look just like sitting around a campfire and chatting. And it's a really great thing because it helps to build relationships. And for leaders who aren't from the community, it really helps to learn about local culture or traditions, and it can help to learn about protocols, too. Today in Activity 4, we ask you to share how you are most likely to connect with and learn about your community. And from some of the answers that we got, we learned a few things. So I'm just going to post what the top three responses were in the chat here. So you can see that we had chatting with the recreation program participants came with the highest pick, with seven people responding. And then the next two were a tie, following a community Facebook page or finding out priorities from community leaders. These are really interesting. When I live in a small community, I find it's been really helpful to connect with the people who are taking part in programs for sure. The community leaders often let you know what they think should be going on in their communities too, but it's important to seek that out. Facebook pages were something that came up last week too in our conversation as a way that you can gather good information. Juliana, you just joined. Thanks very much for being on the call. Hi. We're just starting our call. We got started a little bit late this morning. One more time, I'm just going to, I think some folks are having a hard time getting the link. So if you go to the RS102 page on the main website, you will find near the top of the page, right back there. So in the Get to Know Your Community page, just above where it says week one, there's something that says URS 102 presentation, and you can click that link and it will take you right to the presentation. So I know there are lots of ways that I choose to connect with people in my community, and you've identified some of the ones that you could do, but I wonder if we could start by asking the question, what way of connecting with your community is most comfortable for you? And how can you connect with people who don't come to our programs or events? So I'd like you to consider that question just for a moment. We're just going to jump to slide 18 here. So is everybody able to find the slideshow and get on to slide 18? This is the one that says community culture. If you folks type in, it's going to wait to see if you're able to find that. Great. Okay, looks like people are able to get there. Some of the things that we think about when we talk about community culture would include things like language or history or food and arts and music. Those things sometimes go hand in hand. Or traditions and celebrations or values and attitude or even religion. All of these things together can help to shape the way that we think about the culture of a community. That's not just the arts and crafts culture or the arts and music culture, but the underlying culture of the people who live there as they live together as a community. If you take a look on page 19, when we think about local leadership, and this is important because we found that a lot of people would like to use community leaders as a way of finding out about their communities. We can find local leaders as elected officials or leaders in community groups, where elders are a really important one too. And even the people we think of as role models who maybe don't fit into those other categories. And right there in the middle, that overlapping space of where all those different leadership officials or different leadership types reside. Those are the people that, where they overlap, have more of a finger on the pulse of their community. Trying to understand leadership styles in a community can be really valuable. So getting to know who your local officials are, whether they're elected or community leaders in other ways, is really helpful because those are influential people in your community. Take a little bit of time to try and observe their participation patterns as well. Who the volunteers are, who are the coaches, how do people like to volunteer? Are special events a really big thing in your community? Do a lot of people participate in them? And who's participating in sport? There are many informal ways that we can get to know our community. And when you don't think about, or when you think about these characteristics and try and connect with people who you don't usually chat with, you just might be surprised with what you learn. So, I'm going to post this question in the chat here too, and I'd like you to take a, we'll try and take a go around the circle on this one. So, again, so the question is, one thing you learned recently about your community that surprised or impressed you? And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to post things in the chat here again. We're going to go in this order. Oh, sorry, Misha, I spelled your name incorrectly. I'm just going to do that again. I had to go too fast. So we'll start with, oh, and Igor, I spelled yours wrong too. I apologize, my friend. So I've got Igor first, and then we'll go Rob and Jacqueline. So what was one thing you learned recently about your community that surprised or impressed you? Make sure you come off mute when you answer the question, or you can post it into the chat. Can you hear me now? I sure can, Igor.
When I realized that...
No, I can't again. Weirdly. There you are.
My internet is unstable. I will put in the chat, okay?
Thank you. Robin, you went there next? You're still on mute, Robin.
There we go. And I don't know if it's really considered something that I learned, but last year we had a really hard time with our outdoor winter rec because we didn't really have enough volunteers to maintain the rink and the ski trails and everything else. And we kind of petered through it. This year we held an outdoor rec meeting, and we had actually like tons of people show up and people volunteering and organizing their own groups to clear the rink once a week. And somebody came in and asked for all of our manuals for equipment to do like regular maintenance on it. And it really surprised us because we did ask for help last year and it just kind of didn't really come. So this year we were really overwhelmed with the support that we received.
Right on. Thanks, Robin. Jasmine, do you want to go next? Make sure you come off mute, please.
Yes, I'm just going to post in the chat.
Sounds good, Jasmine. Thanks. Igor Chad puts into chat, he was surprised that over 20% of the population is 60-plus. Myla, how about you?
Hey, sorry, my computer rebooted. I'm not too sure what I'm doing.
I'll come back to you at the end. The question is, what's one thing that you learned recently about your community that surprised and impressed you? And I'll put you at the end.
Okay.
Okay, how about Breton?
Hello. So, yeah, I would say one thing that impressed me is I just started in my role and moved here to Ocala in June. So this is kind of my first time getting ready for the holidays, the events that we're hosting. So we've reached out to a lot of the local organizations and businesses here, and I was pretty impressed with how many actual, like, donations we have received and how much support that we're getting for this, our events, I guess I should say, that we're hosting.
Right on. That's awesome. That's a good thing to be surprised about. Thanks, Breton. April and then Jan. April, how about you?
One thing that really surprised and really impressed me, I attended an AGM recently. It was a co-op AGM, and they did a little presentation on the art. There was a bunch of artwork that was found from our late elders, and it was locked up in a safe, I guess, and they found that safe, and that artwork was, like, treasure to the community, so.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. And what a fantastic find. That's really great. Thanks, April. Dan, how about you? You might still be on mute, Dan. Okay, well, Gian's sorting it out. Let's jump over to, are you there? Okay, we'll jump over to Melanie and then Misha. And Gian, if you can, and Myla. So Melanie, Misha, and Myla. Melanie, you're up next.
Do you hear me?
I do now, yeah.
All right. One of the things that I learned is I looked not only at demographics, but what this community has to offer. And most of you may know that Buckland Lake is the gateway to the Yukon and has a Zion Post forest. And I learned that we have about 100,000 signs in that Zion Post forest. Not really sure who counts those signs, but I found this quite impressive.
So, yeah, there's folks, if you have your microphone open, I would ask you please to mute it. Mel, could you say something about your signpost again? I just didn't quite catch it.
Right. We do have a signpost for us, and Watson Lake is famous for the signpost for us. And so I found out that you have about 100,000 signs. And I said, like, I'm not really sure who's counting them. but yeah, I found this quite impressive, and the signpost forest is growing, but also poles are collapsing. So yeah, it's just like a little bit of a fluctuation in this forest, as in every forest, I guess.
For sure. Yeah, that's really interesting. 100,000, I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah, no, me neither.
That's amazing. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
Misha and then Myla. Misha, can you tell us, once again, the question is, what's one thing you learned recently about your community that surprised or impressed you?
Yeah, so I recently moved from Carmax to Marsh Lake, and I've lived here before, but this time I found out that we had a whole recreation center, and I met Robin again in person, and like I had no idea that we had all these trails and this community that comes out and like does these like music thing times and like these get-togethers and stuff. So I was really impressed, and I'm excited to be part of the community here.
Right on, that's fantastic. Those are nice things to learn. Thanks, Misha. How about you?
So I am surprised and impressed about the support offered outside of recreation for programming and donations. For example, we got a bunch of food donations from a mine nearby, and we're getting outside help from these Ontario students that are coming down to help us explore more winter sports for our community.
That's really cool. Thanks, Mel. I appreciate that. And yeah, we have my partner organizations that are sort of on the periphery of recreation, just on the edge of recreation, that are really valuable partners for us too. Mani has definitely been one of them in the past. And Jasmine writes, I learned that our high school has 29 potential graduates with an exclamation point. That's amazing. This really impressed me. I remember one year when I was in high school, we only had 5 grads. The number of high school graduates gets bigger each year. That's really amazing. I'm glad to hear that there are success stories that are happening in Cambridge, in Cambridge Bay. That's amazing. Thank you all for your answers. I appreciate them. I want to talk just for a moment about a slide that's a little bit further back in the slide deck here. It's on slide number 16, and it's a slide that addresses something called the Framework for Recreation in Canada. On slide 16, the framework's goals are outlined here in very, very broad terms. So among the many things that were included in the Framework for Recreation are goals that are trying to make a difference to make recreation more supportive, more accessible, and more inclusive. So I want you to just take a moment to listen to the short paragraph from the Framework for Recreation. More than any other service, recreation has the ability to reach all citizens and to bring people together in a non-threatening, physical atmosphere. However, the resourcing of recreation is necessary to strategically address the barriers and constraints to participation faced by some people, and to celebrate the rich diversity of Canada's population.
Jasmine, thanks very much for posting that slide. I appreciate that. Myla, I hope you managed to get this together. Otherwise, I'm going to send you the slide deck after this call is over. I'll just send it directly to you so that you've got it. So once again, I'll just read that one more time really quickly. More than any other service, recreation has the ability to reach all citizens and bring people together in a non-threatening, pleasurable atmosphere. However, a rebalancing of recreation is necessary if it is to strategically address the barriers and constraints to participation faced by some people and to celebrate the rich diversity of Canada's population. So let's take a few minutes to explore what rebalancing recreation could mean to us in the North. It means lots of different things to many people. For some of us, rebalancing might mean adjusting what I do or what we do so that we can better meet the needs of our communities rather than just working to meet the needs of the same few people. And this happens sometimes because there's an expression that goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So when people speak up, they tend to get what they're looking for. So I want to think about this question here. I'm going to post this in the chat. So as you get to know your community better, what do you want to change or what do you want to do differently? So again, we're going to go around and ask this question. I'm just going to, once again, whoops, I'm just going to post everybody's name in the chat here. And we're going to go to Misha, then Melanie. Then to Deanne, if you're able to hear us still, April, and then Breton. But we'll start off with Myla first. So Myla, go ahead. Again, the question is, as you get to know your community better, what do you think you should do differently? And if you want to answer your question in the chat, go ahead. And if you want to pass on the question, just go ahead and say pass.
So I've been in CarMax since April 2019, and something that I've seen, I don't know if this is relating to the question very well or not, but the drug and alcohol pandemic getting worse. So I would like to put on more events. I see here we more engage with youth and elders, so I'm hoping to put on more of the age group in between that are more sober events and try and help build and give tools for that.
Cool, that's really interesting. Put on more sober events. I like that.
going to type some of these into the chat here. That's a great answer, Myla. I appreciate it. Misha, how about you?
So I guess it's kind of recreation, but I just got a job with the Climate Reality Project. So one thing I would like to do, and some of the things I've been working on, is offering more like educational workshops and like climate cafes for people who live in our community and want to know more or want to do some kind of like just, yeah, talk about it and just kind of do more climate related activities.
Cool, sure. Yeah. Write what you know is what authors say, or do what's in your wheelhouse. Do what you know best. That's great. Melanie, and then Gian.
So what I learned over the course of the last 6 months working here is that it's always the same people that are accessing this community as volunteers and otherwise. And I do would like to have a bigger group of volunteers, and the volunteers that are active, they're kind of sort of burned out. So I'm trying to think of different ways on how to reach a new group of volunteers, like a new demographic maybe, or people who have not been engaged so much in the community before. That's something.
That's a great thing to be thinking about, not just where you are, Mel, but for all of us. people are working as hard as they can and burning out, especially our volunteers. So finding new ways to appreciate the volunteers that we have is a big one for me too. But you're absolutely right. Trying to engage new people to come into the fold and to the circle of what we do. That's a really important one. Thank you. I'm just going to read a couple from the chat here. So I've got Igor. He wants to change people's desire to play sports and have various types of recreation without money involved. Yeah, so make it free. I think that's awesome. Congrats for Misha on her position. That's awesome. And we're going to head over to Gan. Gan, are you still able to join us? I should be able to do that now. I think Dan maybe can't quite hear what's going on, or can't quite respond to what's going on this question. So, question is, as you get to know your community better, what do you want to change or do differently? So, Dan, if you can hear us and you're able to type to the chat, we are up to April and then Breton. April.
One thing I learned about the recreation department, just being the recreation coordinator, is that there's not a lot of sports available to the community that are available down south. So I want to look into more of those sports, and hopefully I can make it possible to, you know, play those sports up north.
Interesting. So trying to bring things that are more popular in the south to the north, is that what you were thinking?
Yes.
All right. I'm just going to type that in. That's a good one. Other sports and activities into the north. Right on. Thanks. Breton, you're up next. How about you?
Right. I've only been here for about 4 or 5 months now myself, so I still think there's a lot that I'm going to learn. But just from my experience so far and from what I've noticed is I'd like to have some more structured programming for youth. Like, we do offer like public skates and free swims and certain things, but I think having some more like actual structured activities for our youth would be beneficial for sure.
Okay. That's awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Breton. More structure. Great. Juliana, thank you very much for chiming in on the chat here. Have more opportunities for kids at a young age and elders to have an active lifestyle. And that's been a really big thing too, is intergenerational programming. Have elders and youth getting together at programs, which is also really awesome. Also recruit more volunteers and having more recreational spaces. Yeah, again, coming back to what I think Mel brought up earlier was the need for engaging more people. Let's see, who are we at? So we just heard from Breton and from Juliana. Now we're at, we've got Jasmine and Robin. I think maybe Jasmine wrote into the chat earlier here. I'm just going to scroll up and see. Robin, do you want to go next?
Sure. I think since I started at Marsh Lake, I have been doing a lot of like refreshing and changing and creating systems that work better. One of my goals this year is to create like a long-term capital plan. One of the things that came up when you were talking about like restructuring recreation in general, that I don't really have any power over is looking at like the funding systems, because it's so easy, like not easy, but it's a lot easier to get funding to create a new capital like asset, like a rink or something. And it's really hard to get any funding for maintenance for that. So looking at long-term capital planning, hopefully will help us to create get a better system for sustainability for our capital assets.
Yeah, that's really important, Robin. Just to let you know that I work with the Canadian Recreation Parks Association as well, and that organization has done a huge amount of work in trying to lobby federal governments for additional funding specifically for that kind of thing, finding money for not just for funding new capital projects, like arenas or gyms or rec centers or pools, but more importantly to make sure that there's money available to keep the ones that are there in good shape for the future so that we have them for the long term. So hopefully get your binoculars out. Maybe the cavalry will come riding over the hill crest soon. So that's a really important one, is making sure the things that we've got can continue to run for the future. That's a really great thing to think about. This is Misha. Yeah, go ahead.
And now that I'm in Marsh Lake, if I could, Robin, as you're, you know, brainstorming ideas and stuff, if I can just shoot my shot, and if Marsh Lake could get some showers, I would totally pay $25 a month or whatever to have a shower after the gym. So.
Right on, thanks, Misha. All right, there's a shout out plan, Robin. Robin, I can see that your microphone is open, but for some reason the audio is not coming through. We seem to have a bit of a wonky call today.
It's my headphones, but yeah, the showers is something that we're looking at. And then also, I was just saying to Misha, like, she's never been in the boys' bathroom, but when they initially built the building, they made waterless urinals for the boys' washroom, so the washroom is like unbearably smelly all the time.
They had so much promise, those things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, we've had some really, really interesting ideas about things that we want to do differently and think about differently. We're getting close to the end of our call here, but I want to just take a few minutes to ask you to think back to something that I put back in the chat. Excuse me. A few minutes ago, which are ways of connecting to your community that are comfortable for you. So I'm just going to pop this back in here. We've got, I think, the time we'll do this one. If you want to put your hand up or if you want to open your microphone to respond to this question. So ways of connecting with your community. This is part of what the campfire chat activity is for the last required learning activity for this learning event. And what the goal is to find a way to connect with someone and ask them a short series of questions. And so this is